Hi, and welcome to the Dare to Believe podcast. My name is Rebecca Ribnick, and I am here live in studio with a special guest today.
Hi, I'm Christy Grainer. Very special guest here almost every time.
You're special to me, Christy, and to a lot of other people for that matter.
But we thought we'd get together today and we'd talk about some of the ministry that goes on at Dare to Believe and why we do what we do.
Exactly. So I'm going to do my best to interview Christy and hear a little bit from her. I know she's interviewed me before. And so we're just excited to hear from you today, Christy. So the topic on the table this morning is SOZO. Specifically, Bethel SOZO, which is a form of inner healing prayer. Mm-hmm. And you are pretty involved with that.
Yeah, I'm the regional facilitator for SOZO in the upper Midwest area. So lots of states involved in that. Part of a team that oversees what goes on with Bethel SOZO, not just in the United States, but all over the world. Because actually, every country has Bethel SOZO going on. And so that's a really wonderful thing, but it's also kind of you can't get your arms around something very easily that's that big. And so there's challenges that come with that and blessings that come with it.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're pretty involved. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to hear a little bit about how you became involved with SOZO. And that's a big part of what you do. That's something I recommend people for all the time is to get a SOZO, to get some cleanup, connect to the Lord. Can you share a little bit of your journey?
Yeah, and what I consider I myself receive a SOZO session at least once a year because you don't know what you don't know. We
me
have an
too.
Enemy who's a liar and a thief. And so if there is something that is going on with me that I'm not aware of, I want to take care of it. So I am diligent to stay very connected to the Lord always and to ask the Lord to search me and try me all the time. But I just want to make sure at least once a year that if there's anything that snuck in or anything that got in, because the enemy doesn't play fair.
No.
He comes in our wounded and weak and weary times and gets garbage going in our lives. And so I want to take care of that.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I like to tell people it's kind of like an oil change. It's just part of maintenance.
Yeah. Spiritual maintenance. Mm-hmm. Yep. But I'm thinking, just to tell that story and why we do this at Dare to Believe, tell that story well, I want to go way, way back, if that's okay.
And, take us back.
All right. So the foundational truth to all this is that I have loved the Lord all my life, grew up in a Christian family, and I knew since I was a little girl that God loved me, that Jesus was my savior. He cared for me. All that Christian community was around me. All those things were very good. Not much Holy Spirit was going on. And so I went to a Christian college, got a degree in Bible and psychology. My thoughts were that I was going to be a Christian psychologist. That wasn't a thing that women in the denomination that I grew up in would ever do. But I knew I wasn't called and gifted to be doing the traditional things that my denomination told me I should do. Like, you know, they told me, why don't you teach children? And I love children and I honor people who teach children, but that's not my gifting and it's not good for me or for the kids I teach, you know? And, you know, why don't you just be a mom? And well, yeah, I want to be a mom, but I felt more of a call in my life alongside that. I didn't think that Lord was telling me I had to choose. And so there was a wrestling going on and, you know, it was that kind of that whole generation. So I ended up with my master's degree in theology and spiritual formation. By that point, I'm starting to realize that things are different. And somewhere along the line, as I was the equipping pastor at a local church, and people kept giving me things on Freemasonry and saying, we need to teach on this. Hmm. And people would ask me things like, well, why if Jesus died for me, do I still have to deal with these things? And I would tell them, you don't, you know, the blood of Jesus covers everything. And I truly believe that. And I had been taught that. And I truly believe the blood of Jesus does cover everything. But we also have an enemy who is a liar and a thief and a legalist. And so I was realizing as we went through prayer ministries and dealt with people, things in people's lives, that some very amazing people who love the Lord with all their heart and allowed the Lord's sacrifice to cover their life and gave their life to the Lord were still getting harassment that seemed way out of place.
Right.
And so as these things were being placed on my desk, I was just like, I didn't ignore it, but I also didn't let it be a high priority until it came to a time when there was a man called C. Peter Wagner, who is a really man of God.
Yeah.
He had been a missionary and really didn't believe in things of the Holy Spirit, but then he came back from the mission field and taught at Fuller Theological Seminary in California. And while he was there, he encountered John Wimber, who also taught there.
Heard of him.
Yeah, and he had an encounter with the Lord and was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he just talks about how that opened up a whole new way of life with the authority Jesus gave him that he did not understand on the mission field, and he wished he had known this when he was a missionary.
Yeah.
And you can kind of relate to that, right, Rebecca?
I can.
So he was coming to town, and he was teaching a class on spiritual warfare. And I'm like, okay, I suppose we got to teach people about this stuff. But, you know, I've seen some really weird things regarding spiritual warfare. And I do not, I mean, I can't imagine how much goes into that. Want to open that can of worms for myself, basically, where I was going. But I don't know if I was being that honest with myself. And so I tried, and this was a huge, multi-thousand member church.
So that's a big can of worms.
I was asking as many people as I knew, would you go to this training? I'll pay for it. You know, would you go? It's a 2-day training. Would you go? And I couldn't get anybody to go.
Oh.
So I finally went. And I went the first day, and he was talking about things that I knew I could tell. There were things that I started to remember about my own life, and I won't go into all that. But about things through the generations, like, oh, that doesn't make sense. If Jesus' blood covers this, why is that still affecting me?
And right.
It just was really a very challenging time. I went home, and it was a very challenging night. My husband kind of had to pastor me a little bit, like, oh, it's okay, you're going to be okay. Let's just keep going forward. I went back the very next morning, and I went right to see Peter Wagner, and I told him what was going on with me. And he took about 20 minutes and just ministered to me.
Wow.
And it was amazing. And everything was different. And so I was like, that blew my mind. And I had learned, not only did I just get that experience and encounter for myself, but I learned a lot as well. There's a lot of teaching.
Right.
So then I'm like, all right, I realized this probably is a call on my life, because many times those things that you absolutely don't want to have anything to do with that continue to come at you, you have opportunity, but you just ignore it. A lot of times, not always, but those are things that the Lord's trying to get your attention about, because that's something he put in in me.
That's a great, great reminder right there. Mm-hmm. A little bit of the Jonah word.
Yeah.
Something you keep running away from.
Yes, very much like Jonah. And, you know, my kids were really little, and they're grown men now, so this was a long time ago. But from that point, I realized, all right, okay, God, if this is you, I want to learn more. I want to do it. And from that point, we just began to grow, and we began to teach being as biblically based as we knew how to be. And St. Peter Wagner most definitely did biblically based. And then we started to do a class at this church called, we called it Water of Life. It was from Cleansing Streams. Jack Hayford's church had done that.
Come
very
on.
Biblically based. And we were seeing people get set free. And you know, what was cool about this church is we had done the Alpha course, which I love. And people learn about Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They learn how to embrace what Christianity really means, because I tell you what, the world has so perverted what Christianity means in the way they represent it many times. Not always,
man.
But many times. So this Alpha course was just a beautiful way to remind everybody this is what Christianity is about. And we asked every member to be part of this. And so part of what that course is you invite the Holy Spirit to come and the gifts start to flow. And then we realized, oh, well, now people are getting to know the Lord, but they're still pretty messy. What we said kind of jokingly was,
Well, you can catch the fish, but then you got to clean them. You know?
Yes. There's some messy people that were coming into the church. And
the Lord's not afraid of.
Oh, he's not even afraid a little at bit. All. But we are when we want everything neat and orderly. And
yep.
And it does, as a person pastoring a group of people, when somebody new comes in and it kind of upsets the apple cart and your normal regulars are uncomfortable with that, you know, you've got to try to pastor everything. So it really was a challenging season.
Yeah.
But we did this course called the Water of Life then, and it was 12 weeks, and again, you have a weekend where you really spend time in inner healing and some deliverance and teaching people how do you stay free, and you hit this stuff head on very well, very biblically. So we're having a lot of good success with that, and I felt a burden for doing this very well because I have seen so much misuse of this kind of stuff in the body of Christ. Just people that know a little bit and go off and run off with something and hurt people with it. And so we did a lot of training with the team members that helped with this retreats and with the class, and we did a lot of training, and so it was going very well. And one of the members of my prayer team came up to me and he said, "Christy, the Lord's telling me that he's going to teach you a really fast way to do what you already do. This thing getting people free doesn't have to take 12, 15 weeks. Or whatever. You know, you need to do it more quickly." And I just thought, you are not of the Lord. You know, you just do
that's
not
crazy
know what you're
talk.
Talking. Yeah, that's crazy talk. But I always, even when I want to reject things like that, I'll always say, "But Lord, if this is you, I want what you're doing, but I need to know it from you."
That's a great prayer, actually.
Right, because I don't always like everything that the Lord's up to. And my flesh doesn't always like it or doesn't agree with the way the Lord does things.
Right.
And so I know that I need to be, I want to be obedient and to serve correctly, but also to not be deceived. And so I have to trust the Lord's voice more than I trust those voices that are coming at me.
Well, or even your own sense of offense that the Lord's doing it in a way that maybe you're not comfortable with or different from what you're used to.
Isn't that interesting that we get offended at the Lord,
at
the way the Lord does things? No, that's like not the way it should be done.
That's so much of my own personal life.
Yeah.
But just staying hungry for what he is doing, keeping your hunger greater than your offense.
Yeah. And your discernment high so that you can discern how it is the Lord. But give the Lord permission.
Right.
He's so good. I mean, he wants you to know these things. So, Lord, if I'm wrong on this, please correct me.
Right.
Just to keep humble before the Lord on this.
Yep.
And so shortly after that, we had a conference at the church I was working at with Randy Clark and Bill Johnson.
It only
happened once, but it was a healing conference, and it was just unreal.
I
didn't know who Bill Johnson was at the time, and so I was joking with him and talking with him, and, you know, I was on senior leadership team, so I had to sit with him and just have conversations with him. And I remember looking at he and Randy Clark and seeing stuff in the spiritual that I'd never seen before, and I'm like, "Oh, these guys are carrying something. Aren't they cool?" But I didn't know who they were, you know?
Yeah, they are carrying something.
They were new to my realm, but it was wonderful, and I had a conversation with Bill Johnson, actually, about Sozo and what Sozo is all about. And I loved the guy. I just really thought, this guy is carrying something. And both Gary and I were extremely drawn to his Bible teaching.
Mm.
Like, this guy, I'd been in the Bible since I was a little kid. So Gary had sort of, you know, he grew up a Christian, but not so much Bible. But I grew up in a denomination. We learned Bible forever. And he was unpacking things that just felt very true to me. Like, I knew him deep in me, but he put words to them. And I'm
had the same experience.
Yeah. I want to learn more from this guy. And within a short time, I was just looking him up online, seeing what his church was all about. And my mentor, John Paul Jackson, was going to be at his church.
Another great name.
In February. And I'm like, so I went to Gary and I said, "John Paul is going to be at this Bill Johnson guy's church. I think I should go. What do you think?" And he said, "Yeah, absolutely. Why don't you go?" So I went. And I tell you what, it's like then the gates open and things just, I mean, I haven't looked back since. It was an amazing experience. I just was blessed. Every time I turned around, there was a huge blessing. And one of the things I learned about there was they have this
ministry called Sozo.
Mm-hmm.
And they have taken, they aren't opposed to teaching and training and mentoring people, which I have a big heart for. And I think that still has to happen. But their Sozo ministry sessions were like what we did in this Water of Life class, only they did it in an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Yeah, wow.
And sometimes three, but... And I was skeptical, but I was curious,
right.
You know. And so I went and I had a Sozo session, and then I learned Sozo, and then I took like 15 people to Tomahawk, Wisconsin from Minnesota. They were doing some training in...
It's beautiful up there.
Yeah, it's beautiful up there. And we did Sozo training, and that was unreal. That was amazing. And Gary, were you at that training? Yeah. So we both were just like, wow, this is powerful. So then we began Sozo ministry there, and what I realized, and I told the Lord, you know, I don't want to do anything this seems a little weird to me. I don't want to do anything that's not you, but if you will send me the people that you want me to minister to, I'll do it. And so he began to send people to us, and we were seeing amazing things. And what's beautiful is you do have tools that you learn, prayer tools, and Bethel is very clear on how they want those tools to be used and how you process with a person, how you honor a person. And you do it in a team setting. But we begin to see, you know, we don't even feel like we know the tools. Like, we're starting from scratch, but it's like you're assisting the Lord. I used to feel very strongly like I'm in a spiritual surgery session. Jesus is doing surgery. I'm his assistant, and mm-hmm. he'll tell me what tool to use. And we use that tool, and I was amazed at what happened in people's lives over and over wow. and over again. And so I don't think it's a one or the other. I love those longer version because there's discipleship that goes into it. And how did you get yourself in this place? And how do you stay free then? How do you get free? And then how do you stay free? You want to train people in that.
Yeah, exactly.
But when people are ready to get free, they can come in and with one or two or maybe three ministry sessions can get some real serious freedom.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. And I think a good kind of analogy for that is you get physically healed of something. Like for me, when I was physically healed, that was awesome. And my whole life opened up and changed. But then I had to learn, what did it mean to be healthy? And I had to relearn like physical boundaries, which like sounds kind of crazy, but I had to learn that you can't stay up all night and then like
expect your body to stay healthy.
Exactly. Stay healthy. And that things like naps are, I was in college. So I was, you know, didn't really sleep. I was busy surfing and playing
sports
and stuff.
That's very, very true, though. I love sending people to Danny Silk's Keep Your Love On type things or other ministries that promote healthy relationships then, because that's very true. People don't know how to live then a healthy life. If they grew up in a dysfunctional setting, if there's been this spiritual garbage on them for a long time, they've gotten used to that. And it's a new normal. It's a good normal.
Right.
But they have to learn how to walk this out. So getting in after a ministry session like that, it's very important to be in some kind of a Christian community.
Exactly.
Small group or a small church or something where you can be yourself and you can be mentored and you can continue to learn and grow.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're not done just because you've had a Sozo session.
And you're not perfect just because you had a Sozo session.
Until I look just like Jesus, I probably have some room to grow.
Oh.
And I'm sitting in a room with two people that know me probably better than most. And there's still some growth opportunities.
I was really blessed one time when I heard a man named Jack Deere
This is another great old,
isn't he
old
a great,
school.
Old, yeah. Yeah. And Jack Deere is a great, he was
surprised by the power of the Spirit, surprised by the voice of God. Those
exactly.
are great books.
And he was a seminary professor who then encountered John Wimber. John Wimber did a lot of interesting things in his life. But Jack Deere, I mean, he was a theologian who taught both Greek and Hebrew. He knew the Bible inside and out. And then when he began to move in things of spirit and said, I think this is the Lord, his seminary invited him not to teach there anymore. But he has had a long and wonderful, amazing career as a man of God who teaches very solid biblical stuff. So if anybody's wondering about hearing the voice of God and would like to read something. I do it.
You know. I'll link that in the show notes.
Yeah.
Those are great. I think in the beginning of my journey to hearing the voice of the Lord and walking some of this out, he played a role.
Yeah.
So actually, all these names did.
So I was hearing him speak, and he said, you know, when I was a kid, he grew up in a really unhealthy home, and he was a very wounded kid who was kind of brought into, it was like a Youth for Christ or with a youth group kind of thing, and came to the Lord. And amazing, and it was wonderful. And he said, you know, he looked at his youth leaders who were maybe in their late 20s, and he said, you know, someday I'm going to be like them. And when I get to be like them, I'm going to have made it. That's going to be it. And he said, and so then, you know, I went to college, went to seminary, and then he said, you know, I came on staff at this seminary, and I would look at these amazing people who worked at the seminary, and I'd say, you know, someday I'm going to be like them, and when I've gotten to be like them, I'm going to have
I'm
made
there.
It, you know,
I've
I'm
made
there.
It.
And then he said, throughout my life, I would continue to look at things, and when I heard him say this, he was in his 60s, and he said, you know, all my life I've thought there's going to be a time when I arrive. And he said, I've come to the realization with the Lord's help that as long as I'm on this earth, I am in recovery from being human. And I thought, isn't that a great way to put it? And he said, I will be perfect when I get to heaven, but I'm going from glory to glory to glory. And that in reality is a recovery process. And so I would describe Sozo ministry as a wonderful tool to help you in that recovery process. But people who come in and think you're going to have a ministry session and not ever have to work on things like this the rest of your life are always disappointed. And then...
Or deceived.
So you will get much freedom, and you don't have to work as hard as you did in the beginning. Mm-hmm. When I go in and have Sozo sessions now, it's probably about a half hour. And we just, is there anything else, Lord? Is there anything? And we work on some stuff. And mm-hmm. But I encourage people to use this and to learn these tools as a way of doing life.
Right.
Yeah.
I broke out some tools this week. Mm-hmm. Just like, well, this, I am overreacting in this setting. I'm feeling a little disconnected from the Lord. What am I believing that he
what
is not
believing
mm-hmm. about this situation? That's usually a pretty good signal for me that I'm believing lies. Well, I know Steve Backlund and some others say, maybe it's Francis Frangipane, who says, if I don't have glistening hope about something, I'm believing a lie.
Isn't that Bill Johnson?
No, it's actually, he's quoting someone.
Francis Frangipane.
That's one of those times where, you know, Bill gets credited with something that he was actually quoting. But if we don't have glistening hope for God to act powerfully and to be good in our life in that scenario, we're actually believing something that he is not believing. Mm-hmm. And I can't afford to do that. For all the things that the Lord wants to do in me and through me, I can't afford to think that something he's not thinking. So that's one of my like, oh, it's time to use some of those Sozo tools or...
Right. It's a symptom.
Exactly. It's a symptom.
And what I would encourage people is we tend to take it on ourselves like, oh, I'm a bad person. I'm doing this again. I got to try harder. And we call it like white knuckling, like you grip your hands and the knuckles turn white because you're trying harder.
Or God's helped me three times in this area. So the fourth, I need to do it myself.
And I'm a bad person because it's like the Lord has so much grace and mercy, and he paid a huge price that you would walk in freedom. And so you trying harder isn't the answer. It is connecting to the Lord.
Exactly.
And asking him, what do I need to do? What am I not seeing? And I'm sorry if I'm believing lies. Can you help me? But in order for a person to do that, we have to understand that God is for you.
Exactly.
And a lot of religion, a lot of what's in people's lives will teach us that God's going to squash you like a bug if you do something wrong, or you are going to be in so much trouble, and God can't wait to yell at you and to punish you for what you did. And that is such a distorted version of who God is. Mm-hmm. And it so negates all that Jesus did for every human being.
Right.
That he would pay that price and then he would
leave you to
manipulate us and play games with us. But it's very common, very common.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty common... I run into that a lot. Even in my own life, there's still areas where I'm like, wow, I just started trying harder there. Or trying to do the right thing as opposed to how do I connect to the Lord in this mm-hmm. and let him lead me. And another good signal is when something gets really heavy and sort of feels like, oh, I've got to do this. This is really hard. But, you know, this is what's on my, I've got to do this.
Because I'm a good Christian.
I'm a good Christian. Hard. I'm going to work hard here. I'm like, oh, I've probably picked up something to carry that was actually Jesus's to carry. I'm believing something that he's not believing about this. Because he actually promised that his yoke was easy and his burdens were light. So mm-hmm. if this burden feels really heavy, I'm probably holding the wrong end of it.
Yeah, and there still is work to being a Christian. Work
oh, for sure.
Walking out life, but it's not that heavy, unmanageable burden.
Right.
The word sozo is just a Greek word, so there's nothing magical about sozo. And so we talk about Bethel sozo because we want to delineate that this is the sozo ministry we're talking about that's associated with Bethel. And it is a word that Jesus used a lot, and so did his disciples. In the New Testament, it's used 110 times. So it's a pretty popular yeah. word with the new covenant.
Yeah.
So it's important for us to understand this word. And it means, if you look at the Strong's Concordance, it means to save, to heal, to deliver, to make whole. And Jesus isn't saying, I will save you, I will deliver you, or I will make you well, or I will make you whole, or I will heal you. He's saying, I will do this for you.
The whole package.
The whole package.
Yep.
And the word means all those things. It's a Greek word that means all those things. When we translate into the English versions of Scripture, we usually take one or other of those. But let me give you some examples of that one word that is translated different ways in Scripture. So in Romans 10:9, many people are familiar with this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be sozoed. You shall be saved is what we usually translate
saved,
that as.
Healed, delivered.
But you shall be saved, healed, delivered, made whole, all of that.
Come on.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, we're spirit, soul, and body, and yeah. he takes care of all of it. He doesn't just
right.
look at one part of our who we are as a person, say, I'll fix this, but not that, or I'll save you here, but not there.
And this is what Jesus said about himself. For the Son of Man came to seek and sozo what was lost. So his goal in coming to seek and save us was to sozo,
that's
to
so
save,
good.
Heal, not to go through a sozo session, but that's why we chose that word. It's like, this is amazing. And then in Matthew 9:22, when the woman with the issue of blood was following after Jesus, you know, and grabbing mm-hmm. on his just the fringe of his garment, he turned to her and said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you sozo, made you saved, healed, delivered. And at once the woman was made sozo, was made well, was made whole.
Come on.
So that's what the power of Jesus does. And one more. And those who had, in Luke 8:36, and those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well, had been sozoed. So sozo isn't a yelling and screaming and that kind of deliverance ministry. And sometimes people think that means it's just powder puff version of football kind of thing. And that is ridiculous because we have seen so much serious inner healing and deliverance. They go hand in hand. And the brokenness in us is what gives the enemy many yeah. times access to us.
You're using the word deliverance, and I know for some listeners that might be kind of a trigger word, like, oh. Mm-hmm. And even back to something you were talking about earlier, didn't the cross take care of all that when I put my faith in Jesus? Am I not fully delivered? Can you just yeah. touch on what you mean by deliverance?
And I mean that the ungodly spirits have access to us, and their goal is to come against what we were created to do, what we were created to be, to bring death and destruction. The enemy, Jesus said, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So in any area of our life where we've been stolen from, where something is dying or something is being destroyed, that's the enemy's influence. And Jesus came that we would be set free. And so the only way, Jesus gave us all authority, his blood covers everything, but the only way the enemy gets access in is by somehow getting us to believe and agree with a lie.
Yeah.
And when we believe and agree with that lie, and usually that comes in at a wounded and vulnerable time in our life.
Right.
And we believe that, we take it in, then we start to act out on that lie, and our behaviors reflect that lie, and that causes ungodly stuff to have permission to come in. And so it's like a bad cycle, and Jesus stops that cycle.
Do you have a for instance that you could share with us? then it's a little personal.
There's lots of, for instance, I have them all. I just don't want to disclose anybody's personal stuff.
No, from your own life.
But so we had somebody came in that had been stealing, and they just didn't understand. I mean, they would be tempted, and they just couldn't stop, and they would steal. They would steal stuff. They would just like put it in their, take it and put it in their coat pocket, or take it, things that weren't theirs, or even be at people's homes and just take things. It was just kind of like that's something they just did. They couldn't stop, and that's why they were coming in. And what we do is our first thing we do is we reconnect them with the Lord. We ask them how they see Father, Son, and Father Jesus and Holy Spirit, and we'd help them to reconnect first and foremost with the Lord, because if they're connected with the Lord, He can fix it all. I mean, He can help them with all of that. But this person was a believer, and they knew the Lord, and they prayed for help, and they just weren't getting
free. They probably felt super condemned.
Well, felt like there must be something wrong, and somehow Jesus didn't care about them, or what Jesus did didn't work for them. They're like the anomaly that might work for most of the world, but I'm one of those people that it just doesn't work, which is a lie in itself. Mm-hmm. And when you believe that, it causes you to act differently. And those lies, see, what a lie does is we act on based on that lie, our behavior. And so what it came back to is a woundedness in this person's upbringing, where there wasn't ever enough. We would take so that they, because they were hungry and they needed things, and they had parents who should have cared for the children better, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. And so the people who were supposed to be protecting and providing for the kids weren't. And so they grew up in that kind of a situation. And so the lie was in them, and then a behavior, and then a cycle that I'm not going to be provided for, so I have to take something, okay? I have to do this. And I get that some of that is psychological. I'm looking at the spiritual part of it. But so there was something very ungodly that was like, yeah, you won't be provided for. And dads don't provide for you. Father, there might be a father God, but that fathers don't provide for you.
He's not going to
take care of you. Don't protect you, so you got to do this on your own.
Right.
And so it was just a behavior cycle in a way. And so then we asked the Lord, well, what lie am I believing, and who do you want me to forgive? And we went through all of that. It takes a long time. And you process through it. You don't force anybody to do anything at the process they're comfortable with. And that is one very important thing with a sozo, is you do not force people to do anything.
Yeah.
And what grieves me is when I have met people whose family members have been harmed by something that was called sozo, and it was not people who were trained by Bethel, and even if they were trained, they weren't overseen or endorsed by Bethel, but who used that terminology and brought a lot of pain. So I understand that things can be misused. So we will not push anybody to do anything. But this person, as they worked with the Lord, and as they heard from the Lord, and as they worked things out and got things corrected, finally got rid of that lie and received the truth that Father God's not like her father, and He is a perfect father, and He will provide for her. And she, she began then a journey of operating differently, and comes back every couple times a year, and still working on things, and still, and doesn't, just because she got rid of that one lie doesn't mean she's perfect, so there's still things she's working out, and because she got rid of that lie, that had been common since childhood, so she had some behavioral things that were formed around that spiritual lie. Am I making sense with all that?
Yeah, it's making sense to me that first you're cleaning out it. Well, I think you've used an analogy of rats before, like you take out the garbage,
right?
And then if there's any rats lingering, you
get rid of them.
You close off their access point,
right? Right. They don't first have anything you have to feed on.
Right. They go away. And right. Sometimes, there's the soulish behaviors. You got to learn
right.
how to
and
walk it out.
And it doesn't mean that Jesus' blood doesn't cover everything. It means that we have a active enemy, spiritual enemy, who knows how to deceive, to lie, steal, kill, and destroy, and get lies into us. But that we have the authority of Jesus, and we have the ability, because of what Jesus did, to deal with all that and to have a better way.
So if someone's got a reoccurring problem, they just can't break it. They get prayer. They are.
And let me say, a lot of times when people get prayer, they do just
get free.
Yeah.
And that happens.
That's true too.
So we're just here for those people that need a little extra.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, we say it's good Christian maintenance. It's good spiritual maintenance. So just, and I find it helpful to pray through stuff. Cause even me, I've been around this for a while. I spend time with the Lord regularly, just listening to him. I still have this like areas where I'll be like, wow, I'm actually operating a little shame there. I'm actually covering this up, or I don't think the Lord will speak here. And sometimes it's really helpful to have someone else to to pray through that with.
I think that's the piece that I like the most. It's I have someone else doing it with me.
Yeah.
I have a little extra. It's like I feel like people have grabbed my arms and we're getting me through this thing I couldn't quite do on my own.
And there's intercession that goes on during it too. There's someone in there just praying for you to be able to connect and hear and get free.
And you know, when we have people come for social sessions, we ask them to fill up a follow-up sheet. And so because we want to know, is there anything that we did that did not feel right to you? And once in a while, not very often, we do have some people, and then we follow up with them and we make sure they're okay.
But most of the time, hit and run.
Oh, exactly. And if people don't tell us about it, there's not much we can do about that. But there are some that come to us, but most of them are extremely positive. So just let me read you some responses from a few people who came in for a session. And we asked them, how would you describe your Dare to Believe ministry experience? And, you know, a lot of fantastic. This woman says fantastic. And then she says, I love Dare to Believe. The interactions are deep. I got inner healing and I received deliverance.
Come on.
I mean, that's a good
word. That's a good day
there. That's a good day, yeah. This person, again, described her experience as fantastic. She said people were kind and understanding. I was safe to disclose personal hurt and shame and things I was struggling with. People were very good, nice, and kind. Thank you. And so, you know, just she felt safe. I mean, just to have a safe place where you can come. And everything is confidential here. The only time that we would ever disclose something is if we're concerned about their safety or someone else's safety, then we would disclose and we would make sure they got help and we would reach out. But this person, we flat out asked the question, were there any issues that concerned you about your ministry session? She said, no, exclamation point. I received personal breakthrough and a closer relationship with God.
That's
Thank
great.
You very much.
Come
yeah.
on.
And that, those are good words.
Those are great things. And couple things. Is it for women only?
Absolutely not. We have men and women that come through. We have men and women that lead ministry sessions as well.
That's great.
And if people would prefer one or the other, we can arrange that for them as well. But a lot of times people don't care. They just want someone that knows what they're doing.
Right. You know, it's true too.
And I oversee the team here, and I oversee just kind of some things in our region. So you know, I do my best, and I trust the Lord to bring up any issues. That's my constant prayer. Anything that's not right, Lord, bring it to the surface so we can deal with it. Mm-hmm. This person said that their ministry time was very liberating. I like that word.
That's great. Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is liberty.
Freedom.
Yep. Very liberating.
So another question for you, Christy. Someone who's just saying, kind of like, I just really want to walk out the will of God in my life. I really just want, but they don't seem to get over a hurdle. They kind of feel like they're living out the same day every day, if you will, kind of spiritually just in the same spot. Would this be something for them?
Well, what you first said, I just want to walk out the destiny in my life. I think that's one of the prayers I had after we'd been doing this for a few years, and I there was some things that were going on, and I was like, Lord, this is a little bit strange and a little bit weird. I don't know which words I used with the Lord. So I believe it's you that does these things, but if you don't want me to do it, I'm happy to just set it down. You know, call somebody else to do it kind of thing. And I clearly heard the Lord say, if I show you what their destiny is and what's been stolen from them, would you do this?
Wow.
And this was, I mean, a very cool experience because I was like, you know how Gideon put out the fleece? I was like, well, Lord, can you give me names of people who might come to me that, you know, then I'll know. Then I'll know that it's you. Because I don't want to I have seen people who just assume that they're called by the Lord to do something and do more damage than good. So I didn't want to be one of them. So I So I put this out, and absolutely, if you show me what's been stolen from them, absolutely, I would do this. And I got the names of five people, and I wrote them down. We were up in North Dakota at the time, so we weren't even home. And I wrote them down. We live in Minnesota.
Those are different states.
Those are two different states, yep. And we came home, and within 2 weeks' time, all five people, and I told the Lord, I'm not going to contact them. If they contact me, I'll believe this is you, and I'll know that you're telling me to do this. And within 2 weeks, all five contacted me, and we did ministry. So I just have a confidence that, but those are the Lord's words. If I show you what their destiny is and what's been stolen from them. So if you are afraid that you are going to miss your destiny and something's been stolen from you, or there's something wrong with you that's going to keep you from being who you were created to be, all those things are lies. And you can try really hard to fix that yourself. But again, that gets back to trying really hard to fix it yourself. I can feel shame for believing those things, you know, but I believe them. I think that, and so if it's in me to believe that about myself, I need some help. So yeah. I would encourage you, you know, sozo is a biblical thing, Bethel sozo. I would encourage you, it doesn't have to be Bethel sozo. I would encourage you to go to a Christian organization that uses biblical prayer tools to get freedom and work on that issue. Because the truth is, you were created for a destiny, and God wants you to walk out that destiny even more than you do.
That's right. That's so right. And I come across people a lot who just, they know there's more. They know that there's more than where they're kind of hanging out in life, and they're not quite sure how to get there, or they're a little afraid about getting there. And first off, I just want to affirm that if you know there's more, it's because you're created for more. If there wasn't more, you wouldn't be hungry for it. And secondly,
that's a good word.
Yeah, if you just don't get hungry for something that doesn't exist. But since it does exist, you're actually hungry for it. And you are created in the image of God. There's an incredible call on your unique life. God has so many wonderful things in store for you and an incredible destiny. And I can say that with full confidence about every single person I meet. And then you meet some people and they just blow your socks off. You're like, wow, you just see it. I think whenever I get a good glimpse of somebody's destiny, I'm just overwhelmed by how awesome God is and what they're created for. But if you feel kind of stuck, I really encourage you to reach out. Sozo is a great place to even begin that journey, clean up hearing from the Lord and where you're at. Or get involved with people who believe for you more than you believe for yourself.
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting is, if you aren't even sure about your relationship with God and where you stand about faith, we have had many people come here for ministry and they'll say, you know what, I don't want you to talk about Jesus. And I'll say, well, you need to understand that's where we're coming from. So that's what we do here. We are all about what Jesus did and who he is. And we're all about Father, Son, Holy Spirit here. So if you're okay with us being us, we'll be okay with you being you. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk to God. And most people, I find most people, it's always, I think that's the real antichrist type spiritual stuff. Because most people that come in like that, they're fine with Father God, Creator God. They're fine with Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. They're fine. Mm-hmm. But it's Jesus that they don't want to deal with.
Yeah.
But every single time that has happened, they've encountered Jesus here.
Yeah.
And so,
amen.
But we make sure we're really clear with that on people, with people.
Yes. Okay, so if I'm listening to this and I'm thinking like, man, this sounds awesome, how do I sign up? And let me follow that up with, what do I expect? What can I expect with the ministry session? If I've never had a SOZA before, this is kind of stirring something in me. What will that look like?
Well, you want to go arrange a SOZO session. So you can go to BethelSozo.com, and you can see a list of where there are Bethel regional facilitators like me all over the world. And contact that facilitator in your area, and they will help you connect to a SOZO ministry, a Bethel SOZO ministry. So BethelSozo.com.
I'll link that in the notes as
If you're in the Minnesota general vicinity, Actually, you can do a lot via Zoom as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of sozos are happening on Zoom, and very, very fruitful sozos are happening on Zoom. So you can do that as well. But you can go to our website, www.dare2believe.info, and ask for a sozo session and schedule. And most sozo, because of kind of what's going on with COVID and the craziness of the world, most sozo ministries are a little stretched thin because there's been so much desire for freedom. People are finding this is a season when fear is bubbling up, or insecurities bubble up, or confusion, or they just want help. So you may have to wait a couple weeks, but you should be able to get in on a session.
Yeah, and what do I expect when I come in for a session or I zoom in?
Well, you will have two people or three. There's one person leading your session. There's a couple people who are praying for your session. Somebody will be taking notes for you because we want to record the good things God says to you during the session so that you remember them. We won't record the whole session, and we don't want you to audio record the session because the stuff that the lies that come up and that are dealt with, we want them gone. It's like, let's flush that away. We don't want you digging that back up again. And so the good things will go home with you. And we'll invite you to pray. I tell people, think of me as a coach. I'm going to coach you on how to pray. It helps me if they pray out loud so I can hear where they are. You don't have to pray out loud to pray. But if you're in a room with somebody and I want to know what you're praying and what the response is, so then you need to talk. You need to say it. And so they pray, and I coach them on some of the tools, through some of the tools, the prayer tools we have. And they tell me what they're sensing or seeing or hearing or feeling or remembering and those things. And that will tell me, as the person leading the session, what to do next. Mm-hmm. And so every single session is different and varied because the individual being ministered to is different and varied, and what they need to deal with is different. It's like going to a doctor. The doctor diagnoses you first. Dr. Jesus diagnoses you first and then tells us what to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just am excited. I'm excited for our listeners. There's so much freedom. There's so much breakthrough available for you. If you do not have glistening hope about an aspect or an area of your life, there's a reoccurring pattern. If you're stuck in the same cycle and, oh my goodness, shame so quickly wants to come in and tell you this is who you are, that you're never going to be free, this is an awesome tool to get some freedom and to walk out the liberty that you have in Christ, walk out who you were destined to be. So I'm getting excited for our listeners. I know that I've seen so many upgrades in my life, my own belief life. And then you walk it out and stuff doesn't stick to you the same. When you get rid of that lie, when that comes at you again, you're just like, huh, look at that. And it's, oh, huh. And you just keep going as opposed to going in another cycle of whatever it was. But mm-hmm. So I'm excited. But any final words for our listeners, Christy?
Well, I just want to encourage people to trust that the blood of Jesus does cover everything. And if you aren't walking in total freedom, he is the one being stolen from, because he paid a price for you to be in freedom. And so partner with him and know that the enemy's stealing from him, from Jesus. So yeah. He's going to help you understand why.
That's so good.
And how it's happening.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded too that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. He leads us into all truth, and mm-hmm. He exalts Christ in us. He's living to exalt Christ, and that will happen as we become freer.
Amen.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Christy, for sharing a little bit about your Sozo journey, your Bethel Sozo journey, and what you're doing. And just thank you from the body of Christ here in the Twin Cities for how you've invested in our destiny here.
Thanks. Let's pray over the listeners.
Please do.
All right. So, Lord, I thank you for everyone that is listening to this anywhere, any place, any time. And we just bless you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I release your peace and your comfort and your encouragement. And I speak to any shame, any fear, and I command it to be silent in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, would you just raise up those things that are ready to, it's time to deal with. Would you just raise them to the surface? Would you help people to get the freedom that they need? Bring them to a safe and secure and honorable ministry that will be biblically based and solid. And just lead them there, Lord, and place them in the hands of people who will well care for them. And we declare freedom in Jesus' name over your spirit, your soul, and your body, that you would walk in the fullness of what God has for you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Christy.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you for listening to our Dare to Believe podcast. When I challenge each one of our listeners to dare to believe God for greater things in your life this season.
Amen. And we'd also love it if you would subscribe, leave a review, and a 5-star rating, as well as share this with friends, colleagues, whoever would be encouraged by this message. Thank you so much, listeners.